Welcome to the Adam Fawcett Show, live from La Costa Mexican Restaurant. Now, welcome the Coosa Pines Federal Credit Union, BB Commerce Sports Network's Greg Wyckoff.
Well, setting in for Greg Wyckoff tonight, I'm Dave McCurley along with Tony White and, of course, Coach Adam Fawcett here with us. But before we get into this show, a couple of items we need to take care of for a little, I guess you would say, house cleaning duties. I want to go ahead and say congratulations to our sideline reporter for BB Comer, Michael Giddens. He and his wife, Celia, this morning gave birth to a 9-pound, 10-ounce little boy named Shepherd Ray Giddens, 22 inches long. Coach Adam Fawcett, that might be a future offensive lineman for you right there.
That may be. I would definitely be retired by the time that young man hits the field.
So are you saying that maybe somebody else at our table here is forcing you to an early retirement?
Possibly.
Yeah. I'm not talking about Tony.
It's a conglomerate of all of them.
Okay. Max is great, man, but he's here eating, and I'm glad he is because he's given a lot of effort today in practice. First of all, and let me say this as well, our condolences go out to Winterboro High School, Coach Skylar Mansfield, and what they're going through right now. Coach Adam Fawcett and his school went through it just before school started and getting things underway there. I can't imagine parent-wise, coach-wise, school-wise, at the loss of a young football player for Winterboro. So Coach Mansfield and his staff and school, not just the football team, but the entire school going through something that I pray never happens again around here, but they are in our coverage area, and we wish them the very best. They've got a good football team, and he was a senior, and he will be sorely missed. Also, I want to say, Coach, I got to ask you, now, you've been around football a long time. You've seen a lot of injuries and everything. What happens when a sideline reporter gets injured? Man. Before the kickoff.
You know, I was wondering because I saw him pregame, and we did the little head nod, and, you know, he's still new to the sideline, so he's kind of like, I don't know if I should go near him or not, you know. So, you know, and I really freaked him out at Wadley because I just walked over to him and talked. But, yeah, at halftime, I kind of looked around for a second and didn't see him. I'm like, well, all right, I got to go, you know. So, but yeah, he apparently bit the dust.
Pretty hard. And, yeah. And Tony White, I'll bring you in here because I was actually just – you know, getting ready to watch the Auburn game and was going to come down some as well. And I get a call and says, hey, can you come get me? And I said, what's going on? He said, well, I've had a little accident. And, you know, we're talking about Michael Giddens, of course. And when I got there to pick him up, the first thing he said, well, I don't want to get any blood in your tricep. I said, blood? He was bandaged up. He looked like he'd come out of a MASH unit, Tony.
Well, I tell you what, I mean, I don't know exactly what he did do, but he was down on the sideline, like Coach Fawcett said, and we were in pregame, and we went
to him, and he wasn't there, and we looked up and down the sideline, we couldn't find him. So in just a minute, I got a text from the trainer, B.B. Comer, and she said, hey, the sideline man is down here hurt, down here at this table. So I looked down there, and he was sitting on the table, and she said that he was bleeding and was white as a ghost. So I said, well, do I need to call somebody to come and get him? And she said, no, he's already called somebody. And so that wrapped that all up.
Well, the only time I've ever seen him white as a ghost is when he's at a buffet and they told him he would have to leave. But I'm just being honest.
But see, he was fasting Friday night, so, yeah. You know.
And maybe that's one of the reasons he tripped over whatever he did. But
Well, what happened was our mic was going in and out mm-hmm. on the sideline kit, and he was trying to fix it, and he wasn't paying attention, and somebody had turned over a chair, and he tripped over the chair. and he planted, I think he went face first in the turf.
He took a pretty nasty spill. He is doing okay, and like yeah. I said, 4 days later, he's a proud new papa now. Coach, let's get into football a little bit, and I'm going to let Tony ask you some questions. But the one thing I wanted to ask you, we talked about this in our Coosa Valley Medical Center one-on-one interview yesterday. You know, you're up 12-6, and all of a sudden you think, did Vincent start doing things that you hadn't seen, or did just the luck of the way the ball was bouncing and execution-wise, because it really turned the other way around in the second half?
It was like watching a train wreck in slow motion. So that gotta make sure they get my drink.
That's okay.
Gotta make sure they get my drink right.
Yeah,
can't be.
Hey, this is your show, man.
I can't be drinking that regular lidded stuff.
Me either, coach.
But yeah, you know, it was just it's one of those things. That was just tough to watch, kind of in slow motion. And you know, again, we're gonna talk about this a lot this year, and it can be taken however it wants to be taken. I'm a thick skinned joker. It don't bother me a bit. But we started an eighth grader at linebacker. Okay, we had a seventh grader playing corner. We got ninth graders that are out there that are still getting their feet wet. So amidst the few seniors that we have and the junior group that we have, we still have, like, there's still babies out there, so to speak, you know. And those guys are playing as tough as they can, you mm-hmm. know. I go to Brody Parrish a lot. Brody is the eighth grader that started linebacker. And the kid's going to be really good. Like, he's going to be good. But, like, it was just so much. Like we're asking a lot of that kid. In the third quarter, Vincent had scored, and he comes off the field, and he just looks down. I'm like, hey, you're okay. He's like, I'm doing the best I can. I'm like, man, I get it. Like, I am not mad
right.
at you. Like,
right.
Like, I am stinking proud of you and what you've done and the work that you've done and just getting after it to the best of your ability. You know, he gets knocked down and he gets right back up. He's trying to pursue the play. He's trying to make a tackle. He's trying to do those things. We have a errant snap in the red zone, and the ball snapped and nobody's expecting it. We catch the snap. And fortunately, Max had enough sense to move and understand the ball was live. And Isaiah Gable, same kid, had enough sense to make sure he knew it was live and makes a heck of a catch for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. And everybody else is kind of oblivious to what's going on. So you look at those things and you look at those heads-up plays and those things that our guys are doing. And you look at, to heck with the scoreboard, man. Like, I'm kind of beyond that aspect of it necessarily. Everybody wants to win, and I get that. I do too. But, like, looking at our guys' effort and looking at the resiliency of our guys, we made too many mistakes, you know. You want to know why we got beat? We dropped too many balls. We made too many mistakes. We made two big defensive stops, but we didn't make stops when it counted. So there's a lot of different, like, you can sit here and nitpick every little thing,
right?
You know, and you go back to obviously turnovers. The pick six hurt us pretty bad. That was a killer. Interception late was a killer for us. So, you know, and that goes back to, you know, trying to force things to happen, trying to make things happen. And even little young Maxwell is a junior, but he's really a sophomore in skill and
right.
knowledge, because he had a year off and didn't play
right.
a year. So it's still, you know, like all those kids, you know, coming together, they still, like our line play, like Colton Sherram and Tylen Parrish, we're on their butts all the time. Like, and it's so much more than football. It's about being tough and being physically tough and mentally tough and all those things. And then Friday, they play pretty well. You know, they had some letdowns, but they played pretty well. Where their grade outs were like 15, 18 points higher than it was the week before for, you know, for what they do per snap. So those guys have really, like, improved. And then Cam Gaddis is in the mix now, and Cam brings a whole different level, one, athletically, but two, Cam is like man, he's brought a different energy to the guys. And it's been pretty neat to see. And, like, Friday night, you asked one question and I took the show over. I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
Friday night, Cam did some really good stuff. I mean, he caught the ball. He ran the ball. He made plays defensively. You know, Vincent had two runs where they broke open. And if Cam's not on the field, those are two more scores that they have. So, you know, he did some really, really good things, and he's extremely athletic. So, but take away that, just the energy that he brings into to the team and the just desire to want to compete and want to get better. And he does a good job of, like, picking up, like, he's picking everybody up. He's worked, even the week before when he wasn't dressed out at Wadley, he's up and down the sideline and he's picking guys up and he's, you know, hey, it's okay. Hey, you know, keep your head up. Hey, you know, this, that, and the other. So just that energy has been really huge with him coming in and playing with us. So, you know, it's just, and even like Friday after the game, like, there was no reason, like, there's no reason to beat a dead horse. There's no reason to, you know, the older I get, the less, like, I think screaming is important, you know? Like, I still get mad, and I still, like, in the first half, there were about three times where I wanted to strangle number eight, and I didn't do that.
He almost choked just now, Coach. Be careful. Yeah.
He knew it.
I'll tell you what he did do, though. He strangled that, I don't know how many headsets that he has on the sidelines over there. But I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to switch gears on you.
All right.
You're talking about starting young people. What about Colton Strickland?
Yes.
That kid is – you're talking about somebody that's going to be good one day. Mm-hmm. I mean, he – the mentality and the heart that kid's got, mm-hmm. if he can hang on to that – he's going to be a force to reckon with in the years to come.
Yes, he's going to be really, really good if he's able to continue to improve.
Mm-hmm.
And like what we battle coaching staff wise is what's enough and what's too much, you know, because you don't want him to get gun shy. You don't want him to get rocked and get, you know, intimidated, so to speak. And it would take a lot for that to happen.
I just
he doesn't rattle a lot.
Right.
I've seen it in the past where, you know, seventh graders, some eighth graders, they get their bell rung and they get rocked a little bit and then it's all over with. So, but the more Colton learns and the more he understands the game, the better he will be.
I think so,
and
too.
He's gained a lot of, I mean, just getting the reps in and stuff like that has been huge.
Yes.
So, and he's going to be able to play next week. We have our first junior high game, and he'll be able to play because we're off next week. So he'll be able to play the whole game next week because we're not worried about any of the quarters or anything like that. So so he'll be prepared to be able to play, and that's going to be a big opportunity for him to, and he'll stick out like a sore thumb. Athletic ability wise, he's going to stick out because those cats are very athletic. And he's one of the guys, you know, he's one of those other guys that we talked about in the locker room after the game. Like, just so many, like, there was a ton of positives to take away from a loss. And, the older I get into my career, the more I look at kind of, hey, let's focus on these positives and things like that. Because, you know, ultimately, like, this may be a shock to some people, but your biggest enemies are sometimes the people closest to you.
Sure,
and
sure.
It happens a lot in high school athletics because those kids play on Friday night and they sacrifice and they play and they play and they play. And then if things don't go well, you know, some of them spend the next 2 days getting told either how bad they are or how bad the coaches are or how bad their teammates are or whatever the case may be. And it's terrible that it's that way because there should be a support system for kids no matter what, you know. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with coaches. You go into coaching, you better have thick skin because people are going to talk about you. It's never going to be good enough for everybody.
Well, of course not.
And that's fine. I could care less. But, like instead of building that group up and staying with that group and things like that, they get some negative in there. And it's just – it's one of those things where I told them, listen, I want to build a force field around you guys, and I want everything to be as positive as it can be. Because, like, we're in this together no matter what happens, you know. And it's not like I don't – man, I'm not going to sugarcoat things. There's going to be more weeks to come where numbers game-wise, the numbers are stacked against us,
mm-hmm.
you know. In the grand scheme of things, like, you can play 11 at a time, you know. But we have to practice at that level because we have to make sure we condition. And trying to explain to our guys that, 14, 15, 16, 17 years old. Listen, we're not running the crap out of you because we enjoy it. Like, it's rather boring, and we don't like we're behind on the practice schedule. But you've got to run. Like, you've got to be in shape. You got to mm-hmm. be able to go. And so that aspect of it is what we want to do. We want to build on that positive. We've got some guys, and look, this is a different time for me. And the fact that we've had some people that have come out over the past 2 weeks that have, I mean, they've been in our school. Cam's one of them. Mm-hmm. Cam came to us after the Jamboree. He's like, I really screwed up. I want to play football. Well, you've been to summer workouts. You just haven't been to football. So, you know, come out. And he missed a week. He was able to play last week. So, we've had a few kids do that. We have another kid who came in and is a junior that's playing for us. And it's just one of those things where sometimes football is better for you than you are for football. And this young man lost his father, like in the past 3 weeks, lost his dad. And somebody came to me and said, hey, he's interested in playing. He didn't know what you'll say about it, whatever. Like, let him come out. Man, he's been in our school. He played in the past, and like just for him to be around those guys and be around the people and stuff like that. So there's so much more to this than football, man. I can talk about it for days. I could go down our roster and tell you all the different ins and outs with our kids. We have kids that have to work and have jobs. We have kids that have to have help, you know, in other ways, whether it be food or clothing or whatever the case may be. We have, you know, the kid that lost his father. We had, like, it's just like every kid on that roster has a story. And it's so much more than just, man, go to school, go to practice, and everything's hunky-dory all the time. So I think North Alabama's coach posted something 2 weeks ago. It said something about how it's more than just coaching. And he went down this list of what happened in a week. And it was like, player lost father. Player had to get a job. Player found out that his girlfriend was pregnant. Player's parents got laid off. You know, like all this other stuff that just piles and piles and piles. And, like, it's just the – like, you really have to be in the inner workings of any program to understand what's going on, you know. That would be like now all the Bama fans are up in uproar and freaking out and all that other stuff. And, you know, so they're on the outside. They don't know what's going on the inside. Now, being like me seeing from the outside, I don't understand why, you know, a Division I athlete's walking into a stadium with a stuffed animal. But, you know, that would, you know, a stuffed animal and painted fingernails. I don't get it.
I don't either.
So we don't allow that at Comer.
Tony, hold on just a second.
No stuffed animals.
I'm going to take a quick break. We got to take a quick break. I'm going to come back and let Tony ask the coach. One thing the coach said just now is before we go to break that I think he was really getting out, you know, about it's not all about Friday nights because you need to support these kids because half the schools in the state of Alabama go home with a loss on Friday night, and you need to remember that.
Worried about pests invading your home or business? Alabama Termite and Pest Control has you covered. From rodents and termites to bugs and hornets, their experts handle it all. Choose from monthly, bi-monthly, or quarterly services, tailored to fit your needs. Call 256-378-6903 today or visit Alabama Termite and Pest Control in Childersburg. Proudly serving Talladega, Coosa, and Southern Shelby counties. Protect your space. Call today.
At Allen Brew Markets, we're proud to call this community home. Every day, we bring you great service, quality products, and the convenience you deserve. From morning coffee to late-night fill-ups, we're always here when you need us. Allen Brew Markets, your hometown convenience store, your hometown pride. And when it comes to serving our neighbors, we're all in with Allen.
You're all in with Allen, oh yeah. Allen Brew Markets.
Looking for cool sports memorabilia or trading cards? Look no further than Another Level Cards in Childersburg. Hi, I'm Maddie, the boss lady.
And I'm Connor, and I can help you in any of your athletic collectibles from any sport.
Austin is also on deck with TCGs.
From jerseys to bobbleheads, helmets to pitchers, score a touchdown with all we have to offer.
Come by for 8th Avenue Southwest in Childersburg, Tuesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6, or visit us online at alevelcards.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Adam Fawcett Show on the Coosa Pines Federal Credit Union B.B. Comer Sports Network. Driven by Toyota of Sylacauga. Worth the drive and they'll prove it. Online at toyotaofsylacauga.com.
This Friday night, the B.B. Comer Tigers go down to take on the Glenwood Gators. You can hear that game at 6:30. Starting with the pregame with Greg Wyckoff and Tony White over on our sister station, Mix 106.5. And, Tony, I know you had something else you wanted to ask the coach.
What I wanted to talk to him about was, you know, we talked about this, I know, for the last 2 years. Even when we were going to the playoffs, Comer's going to the playoffs and went to the state championship, yeah, it was good to win. It was. Mm-hmm. But I can't tell you how many times I saw Coach Fawcett, and I'm not saying this because he's sitting here, because we have talked about it before, how many times I've seen him take a kid and help him any way that he could, because most of these kids are not going to play at the second level.
That's right.
It's the next level. They're not going to play. He's got kind of like a two-edged sword. He's got to teach them how to play football, but he's also got to teach them how to live out here in the real world.
Yep.
And I don't know which one's hardest. I mean, really.
Yeah, he can tell you which one's hardest. Football's easier than that, isn't it, Coach?
Yeah, football's easy.
I mean, you know, I commended you then, and I commend you now.
Yeah, I ditto, because I've known him long time, and I tell this story all the time. You may not remember this, but we're down at Strawn, and when you were the head coach at Chillsburg in the playoffs, and you went for a two-point conversion that would have won the game on the road, I told you I'd have done the same thing. But man had tears in his eyes for the kids and for the program, not for himself.
Right.
And that's just the kind of that, I'm not going to say that's kind of coach it. That's kind of man he is. And a lot of people don't understand that. They just sit in the stands for 2.5 hours on Friday night, and they see this, and they see this, and they go home, and that's it. I'm like you. I can't tell you how many kids he's helped, and I commend you for that.
I appreciate it. It's really like to do what we do is a calling. Like, it's not for the faint of heart. It's not, and it's unique. Like just. People say, you know, people have asked me, well, is this the same as Winterboro? Is this the same as Childersburg? Is this the same? No, every one is uniquely different. Now, the similarities are that there are, at all three places, there are tight-knit groups of people. And, you know, you ask most of the, and again, there's people, you're never going to make everybody happy, but most of the people know, like, man, I will do anything I can for the kids that are here, and sometimes it's exhausting, you know. But and it helps because my wife is in the system too. So like Ty is there, and she's teaching English, and she's got 10th and 12th graders, and she's like in that fire too, and sees them, and sees the good and the bad, and the ups and the downs, and all that other stuff. So, we're able to kind of see that, and since we've been here, we've seen really good times, and we've seen tragedies, and I think it's 7 students that we've been to 7 funerals,
yeah,
or 7 visitations, and like that is so like tough to like it's tough because of the loss, and then it's tough because you've got a real teenagers back in, and you've got to get them like back to being able to experience normalcy.
And that's one a year for you just here at B.B. Comer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. Hey, well, Tony, I'm going to switch gears just 1 second, and I'm going to let him talk Glenwood for just a minute before he gets out of here. But my understanding was that Kamar Harris was tied for the lead in tackles for the team on Saturday afternoon. Was that
really?
Correct?
I don't know.
I saw that he tied for the team lead in tackles Saturday afternoon. I did not get to see any of that game.
It wasn't on TV. No. I looked, yeah.
But I tell you, and that's one of the kids I can remember you talking about, and not that you had to discipline him, but, you know, there were times where, you know, different players would have to be different, you know, reeled in. But I want you to talk a little bit, and Tony may want to ask some about these Gators that you're going down. Hadn't talked a lot about them. Private school. They're cut of a mold. Listen, they're big and strong.
Yeah, you know, Glenwood's got another group that's pretty good. They've got some skill guys that can definitely move the ball. And, reading our keys is going to be so stinking important defensively. Like, we can't get suckered in on RPOs and on the back end and then give up big plays. So, we've worked tackling every day. Like, tackling is a lost art, and I always say, you know, all the changes that have been made in football, blocking and tackling are still the keys to victory. And we got to be able to tackle. So we've worked on tackling every day, and we'll continue to work on tackling every day to make sure that we get that better and corrected. So, but we're going to have to – got to make sure that we handle that defensively. Offensively, we got to handle the fronts. Their linebacker is probably one of the best linebackers I've seen all year. And when he comes downhill, he is bringing a load. And he is – man, he's coming like a scalded dog, as they say. So we've got to make sure that we pick him up and pick up all the blitzes and things like that. The back's going to have to make sure that he's picking up to the correct side, and we get all our calls and things like that. So it's going to be a big road game. It's a long ride. Glenwood's down in the Phoenix City area. So it'll be a long ride. We're going to leave early and get down there and get loose and get lined up and get ready to play.
One more quick question. Go ahead, Tony.
I was just going to tell him, you know, yeah, that's – they're, you know, they were big last year. They're big this year. I love about some of the film that y'all sent to us and everything. And we said it before and we say it again. You know, anybody can beat on any given day. What I don't want is the kids to go in there and beat before they get on the field.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can compete with anybody.
Exactly.
You just got to get it in your mind.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Max can do. He can do anything at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He's just got to get the confidence and get it in his mind that he can do it. And he's got to get a little help on that front line to give him a little bit of time to do something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what I want him to understand, that he can do it, and I want him to get in his mind that he can do it.
Yeah, he's throwing, you know, he's able to throw the ball well when he has time. He's slow as molasses, but I blame his mama for that.
And you don't need to go home and say that, does he, Coach?
That's right. I bought you dinner. You better not say a word. But, yeah, like, you know, and it's, you know, like, you look at, man, we talked to Jemison, Christian Jemison last week, had a couple big drops, and it, Nobody was more upset about Jimmy dropping the ball than Jimmy.
Oh yeah.
He was upset, and it's not something, you know, we talked about beating a dead horse. Man, just move on from it. He's done better this week. He's caught the ball better this week. He's just, so, you know, and look, I've been doing this 2 gazillion years or however long it is.
two gazillion. That's a long time, Coach.
Yeah. Monday, Labor Day. By the way, you labor on Labor Day.
I did.
When it's football season, like, you practice on Labor Day. Some people don't seem to think that. But anyway, Labor Day practice, we practice at 9 o'clock. And them little guys, they were bouncing all over the place. They had all this energy and all this. I was like, "What? Who are these kids?" You know,
they didn't have to go to school, Coach.
Yeah, but they came in with energy. They came in like, it just makes you feel good, like coming off a loss, and they come back on Monday, and they're number one. They're all there. Number two, like, they've got energy. They got some pep in their step. They're bouncing around. They're focused on what's going on. They're doing all the things they're supposed to do, and like, it's just clicking. You know. Yesterday, we challenged the team defense. Can you run 15 plays in 12 minutes? And we're like flying. Like, the kids are flying around. Like, coaches are flying around. Like, my old self is looking for an inhaler. And I'm like, and I'm not even flying around. I'm just yelling a lot, you know. Get lined up. Hurry up. That's play number three, you know. But everybody's flying around. And it's just so fun to see. And seeing the guys get better, seeing the guys ask questions, and the young guys ask questions, and all that other stuff. And, you know, no matter what transpires, I will not quit on these kids.
No.
The staff will not quit on these kids. No. We'll keep coaching our butts off. We coach really hard. We're not really, like, nutrient coaches. We still coach hard. I coach old school. But we also, like, take care of these kids.
Sure.
You know, every
That's
day.
Right.
Well, they're being taken care of. So we're ready to get down there and see what happens. We have one more practice, and then the old proverbial hay is in the barn.
Yeah. Get on the cheese wagon.
And then we get on the cheese and ride, baby.
That's right. Well, we want to wish Coach Adam Fawcett and his Tigers the best of luck on Friday night. We'll be down there close to you. So three of our coverage teams are going to be down that neck of the woods. So, Tony, look forward to swapping scores with you on Friday night. You and Greg Wyckoff will be. I doubt you will have Michael Giddens. He's going to be baby duty.
She's going to have him tonight. She's going to have him tomorrow night. She's going to have him Friday. He might be wanting to go Friday night.
You are absolutely right. He might get a good sleep on
there
the way
home. You know? There you go.
Hey, but we wish the B.B. Comer Tigers the very best. And, of course, you can listen to that game on our sister station, Mix 106.5, starting at 6:30.